The first reading for the second Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 4. The full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. With great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to each as any had need. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 John chapters 1 and 2. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. Life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. And put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Fear and doubt. Fear and doubt is what drove the disciples to lock themselves away in that upper room. Fear of the Jews, our gospel reading says explicitly. Fear that after the brutal death, the crucifixion and burial of Jesus, that they'd be coming for his disciples next. The same fear is what drove Peter to deny Jesus 3 times. And as our gospel lesson begins this morning, the fear is still raw. It hasn't dissipated yet. not just in Peter, but in all of the disciples. Doubt of the resurrection, not just in Thomas, which he most certainly is guilty, no excuse, but not just in Thomas, all the disciples, they all doubted, they all feared. And Jesus knew that. He knew that they feared for their very lives. He knew that they doubted the reports of the women and of other witnesses to the empty tomb and to the resurrection. They doubted. Jesus knew Peter's fear. He knew Thomas's doubt. The doubts and fears of all of the disciples cowering behind that locked door in that upper room. And he knows your doubts and your fears as well. But Jesus doesn't come and stand in their presence, stand among them in order to bring them even more fear, does he? He doesn't show his risen hands, his pierced side, and his risen glorified body, his hands, his feet, and his side. He doesn't show that to them in order to scold them for their doubt, does he? He doesn't come to destroy and to crush frightened, doubtful sinners. No, a bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. Jesus stands in their midst that day and 8 days later as well, same thing, to destroy their doubt and to crush their fear. Our Lord, our gospel reading this morning, and our Lord Jesus Christ is showing himself in this way, is all about certainty. Jesus had to show himself risen and alive, proof that he is alive for his disciples. He had to show them, those whom he called friends, he had to show them that there's nothing to fear and that they don't need to doubt. And 8 days later, he had to graciously provide that same comfort and that same assurance to doubtful, sinning Thomas. Thomas needed the same certainty and assurance that the rest of the disciples needed. Christ is indeed risen. Alleluia! Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Indeed, he is risen. Certainty. The disciples needed it. I don't have time this morning to get all into it, but go back and read the epistle reading from 1 John again and see how certain John is with those words and just how beautiful those are. The propitiation for our sins, the all-availing sacrifice, Jesus Christ, and what that means, how certain he can be. The disciples needed certainty. You need it. And I need it as well. Why? Why do we need certainty? Well, because we are sinful. And we need assurance that we are indeed forgiven. We are frightened little doubters, like Thomas. And we need certainty and we need assurance. Like Thomas, we doubt the word of God when we should be confident in it. Like Peter, we fear men rather than God. Well, just as our Lord did with the disciples, Jesus knows all of your fears and all of your doubts as well. But in his grace and his mercy, he doesn't come and stand among us this morning to destroy you over it, does he? No, instead, he stands in our midst to destroy your doubt and to speak peace into your ears. 3 times in our gospel reading, the Lord appears and he says, "Peace be with you." He comes and he speaks peace into your ears, and he comes to bring you comfort and certainty. He wants you to know, above all else, that your sins are truly, completely forgiven. That his blood was shed for all your sins, the whole world's sins, as John says in the epistle. Not just for us, but the whole world. But that includes you. You're not unique. You're not special, nor are your sins. Whatever sins you may have committed, you are not unforgivable. Just look at what our risen Lord does in our gospel reading, John 20. Look what he does. First, he comes and he speaks peace to his disciples who are trembling with fear, Three times in our gospel again, peace be with you, he says. He provides peace. When he speaks that peace, it really does create peace in their hearts. And he shows himself, he proves himself to be very much alive and well. And then what does he do? The very next thing, he sends out his apostles. He says, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. Then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld. Jesus knows that the disciples needed to be certain. You need to be certain, and I need to be certain. Our risen Lord Jesus gave the disciples certainty so that they then would have the strength to go out, as he sends them, to go out into the world and speak through the work of the Holy Spirit, through the work of the Word, give others certainty that they themselves have in the risen Lord Jesus. Certainty that according to Christ's own command and all of his authority, the sins of the penitent are completely and always forgiven. Yet the sins of the unpenitent are bound and remain on them. Now these words should be comforting words to you. Reassuring words, Christ's words of certainty. For this is how the Lord has chosen to work. As the head of his body, the church, Christ instituted his church in this way, for his own glory and for our good. Jesus, here in John 20, establishes the office of holy ministry. Pastors. To publicly handle the keys. If you remember that in your small catechism, the office of the keys is that special authority which Christ has given to his church on earth, to forgive the sins of the repentant and to withhold forgiveness from the unrepentant as long as they do not repent. And like Thomas, the doubter, and like Peter, the denier, our risen Lord Jesus has chosen to fill that pastoral office with sinful men. The same has been true all the way down the centuries, down to this very day. The Lord continues to come into your midst and speak peace to you through the mouth of a sinful man, a man who wrestles with sin and doubt and fear just like you and needs to be certain just like you. Yet, a man who can say with certainty that he too is a baptized, forgiven, believing, covered in Christ's righteousness saint. But also, he can say with certainty that the risen Lord Jesus has sent him to preach with certainty, and by the way, that's the only way that I can stand up here and do this, quite honestly. Because it's not by his own authority, but Christ's authority to proclaim God's verdict on you and on your sins in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ. By his authority, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You see, God sends pastors to proclaim Christ crucified and risen for you. The pastor is called to preach Christ's word and to administer the Christ sacraments according to his word and his institution. Why? For you. For your comfort and for your certainty that you may believe. Again, as the small catechism says, that when the called ministers of Christ deal with us by his divine command, in particular when they exclude unrepentant sinners from the Christian congregation and absolve the repentant of their sins and want to do better, this is just as valid and certain, even in heaven, as if Christ, our dear Lord, dealt with us himself. Certainty. So yes, the office of holy ministry is a gift. It is a gift instituted by our risen Lord Jesus Christ. But this should not cause the men who fill the office, like me, to be arrogant or prideful or boastful. Rather, this is a quite humbling responsibility. For pastors are men under orders, orders of their risen master, their risen Lord Jesus, to shepherd his flock and to lead them into eternally green pastures. And like all the gifts of God, the gift is never to be worshiped and adored, but only the giver of the gift. The gift is simply to be cherished and honored by those who receive it, which you are doing, continue doing. Pastors are sent out by God to bring you certainty. Certainty, yes, of Christ's resurrection, but certainty of the forgiveness of sins of Christ crucified as well. Repent and believe, forgiven. Sins are forgiven. Unrepentant, refuse to believe, not forgiven. Sins retained. Sure, I, as a sinful man standing in the office of holy ministry, I said that. I preached that. I proclaimed that. But that's because my Lord and my Master and my God says it. Right here in John chapter 20. It is his word. It is his verdict. It is his free forgiveness for you. You see, God works through his word. He sends pastors to speak that word to you, both law and gospel. Law so that you may not cling to your sins and be condemned in them, but that you may repent and receive the blessed forgiveness of Christ and be saved, the gospel. This is Christ's gift to his beloved church and a gift for you to treasure. Whether you're a fan of the guy that's standing up here preaching, this guy in the office or not. I mean, don't get me wrong, I do hope that you are. But that doesn't change anything. Either way, this is how Christ has instituted the church here on earth, and it is for our good. Dear saints, the living Lord Jesus Christ, Thomas's Lord and God, Peter and the rest of the disciples' Lord and God, my Lord and my God, your Lord and your God, once again, stands in our midst this morning with his word and sacraments. He comes to us not to destroy frightened, sinful doubters, but to destroy fear, to crush your doubts, and to remove your sins. He comes to bring you certainty, confidence, and comfort that he truly did die, and he indeed is risen. And therefore, all of your sins are forgiven. You are saved. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Believe it. Be certain of it. Be certain of the one thing that you can always count on, Christ and his word and his sacraments for you. So Jesus did many other signs that are in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. That's how our gospel reading ends. That's how I'd like to end here as well. But these things are written. All these things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.